Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message.
Coming back for the church, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. You can put these in your seat back in front of you. They got a little place for the communion cup there. While you're still standing, let's read the word together. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. How many of y'all happy to be in the house of God today? Amen. Matthew chapter 5, and it says this: and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what we're going to study today there. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. God, thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. God, I pray this changes us today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need this message. All right. Look at your other neighbor that wasn't your choice. You can be seated and say, I'm not going to lie, you didn't pay attention to the last thing I just said. All right. Praise God. Well, in review, those of you that are just here with us for the first time, maybe it's your first time here, you hadn't been with us in a while, we want to welcome you. And isn't this weather crazy, y'all? Can I just be honest with y'all? I'm ready for flies to die in Jesus' name. If I got to buy one more bottle of fly spray, I'm going to pull my hair out. But anyways, it is beautiful. I'm not complaining, but we need rain. Come on, y'all believe God with me. We need rain in this country in Jesus' name. But those of you that are here or maybe haven't been here for a little bit, we've been teaching on the Beatitudes. And how many of y'all know there's an attitude in the world today, and that attitude may not be too good? And it's important that we have the right attitude. And what Jesus is preaching here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is probably the greatest message that's ever been preached. No preacher has outdone him. And it's the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus is trying to convey right away on this multitude and on this hill is there is a different kingdom that you're a part of. And can I tell the people of God today, you're of a different kingdom. We ought to think different than people from the world. We ought to do things different from the world. In fact, last night I was talking to somebody that called me and said, hey, the facts are this. The facts are my husband has COVID, but my faith is this. I'm of a different kingdom. And here's the deal. That COVID has no legal right in his body. The facts are he has not felt good. Can I tell you, that conversation always leads to life. I'm going to say that again with confidence. The conversation and the phone call says, Pastor, oh my God! It always ends in, oh my God. Come on, we're of a different kingdom. And I'll continually tell you this as your pastor and tell you this, you're of a different kingdom. You talk differently, you walk differently, you have a sway, you serve a different king. We serve a different king. Yes, we live on this earth. Yes, we ought to be earthly good. But I'm telling you, it's only because of kingdom on the inside of us that makes us outwardly good. It's the inside of the cup that makes a man. And so We studied first week, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And all of these Beatitudes start off with blessed, for theirs is. Meaning this, blessed is the Greek word makarios, or it also maybe your translation says happy are those who are poor in spirit, or happy are those who mourn, or happy are those who are meek. And that's a good word, but a bad word, because it comes from the Greek word hap, which means when the happenings are right, you're happy. And not to beat a dead horse here, but how many of y'all know we think that we're happy just because we have the boat? Or we think that we're happy just because we have payments on the truck? Or we think that we're happy because we have the house and we look good to everybody else? But how many of y'all know those things don't bring fulfillment? Those things don't bring fulfillment. And so he's telling us, blessed are those, what he's saying is you'll have true joy that will stick around in all the places that the world tells you not to look. Like meekness. Those of you that were here last week, how many of y'all got something out of the word last week? Blessed are the meek. Meekness is not weakness. And there's so much strength that comes from being meek. You'll inherit the earth. It talks about experiencing the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. It talks about you'll be comforted and obtain mercy in your life. All of these things that we want, and we look for all the wrong places to find those. But he says right here in the Beatitudes, it's in the attitude of poor in spirit. It's in the attitude of those who mourn. It's in the attitude of the meek. It's in the attitude of those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so today, I promise you, if you lean in, this has the potential to change your life. I'm not saying this because I'm preaching this message. I'm saying this because Jesus said it. You'll be satisfied. And so I hope you get something out of the word today. Those of you who are here in the first service, will they get something out of the word today if they lean in? All right. Scotty, I'll pay you after the service there. But this has the potential to change your life. Let's lean into it. King James 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Living Bible says this, happy are those who long to be just and good, for they shall be completely satisfied. Look at the New Century Version. It says this, they are blessed who hunger and thirst after justice, for they will be satisfied. Can I ask the question? I can be confident to tell you that there's people in this room that are not satisfied with life. That they're searching, they've looked everywhere, they're just not satisfied with life. I know there's people in this room here, you've come up empty in your life. You've came up empty. Can I tell you, I'll just go ahead and point this out. I'm so thankful for the home that I was raised in, because I had two parents that hungered and thirsted after righteousness. I'm so thankful that my wife, Pastor Brandy, she had two parents that hungered and thirsted after righteousness. But can I tell you, not everybody does this. Not everybody does this, because he said this is what brings satisfaction. Money does not bring satisfaction. Power does not bring satisfaction. The girl, the car, the house will not bring satisfaction. He says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be satisfied. Okay, I'll just be honest. I love that it says hunger and thirst, because I am a food guy. Like, I am a food guy. I'm no respecter of foods. The Bible says that Jesus is no respecter of persons. I'm no respecter of foods. Like, my palate is strong to eat fish, to eat pork, to eat beef, to eat anything. I like Mexican, Iran, whatever. I'll eat it all. When I'm hungry, I will eat it. Some of y'all are like, ugh. Some of y'all are picky eaters. I'm not. I'll just be real honest with you. But there's some of my favorites. Like, when I look across the room, I think of Divinity from Miss Kay Davison. Glory to God. Anything Miss Bonnie has fixed me. I think about Polly and her buttermilk pies. I think about Miss Nora and her buttermilk pies. I think about banana pudding on the front row here. Glory to God. Some of y'all's cookies. Donna, where you at? Donna made me some cookies. I mean, there's some of y'all, I may be missing some people in the room. Listen, those, if I named all desserts of what I like the most, listen, I do like beef. I really do. But I love it that it says hunger and thirst, because how many of y'all know this is a picture of life? Because let me put it like this. How many times do we go to the fridge and we walk to that fridge and we just go like this? Then we go on our merry way and we go back to doing whatever we're doing. Then we come back to the fridge and we look in the fridge and it's like nothing has happened in the last 10 minutes. Nobody has gone to the store and nobody has taken the time to take the bacon and eggs and cook them for you. And we go back. I do it in the pantry. I get on to my wife all the time. This thing is full of food and there is nothing to eat. Right? It's like my kids, they got all the greatest snacks. Right now, they got them little Christmas trees. Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree. That's how Ernest sang it, right? But they got them little, those little Christmas trees. They got nutty bars. They got these little bags of blueberry muffins. They got the salt and readies. The peanut ones and the almond ones. I'm telling you, my kids are spoiled. We got all this stuff, but I'm like, Brandy, you want me to be on a diet? I want to be on a seafood diet for sure. But I'm like, this pantry is full of food, but there's nothing to eat. I thought of this morning. It's like those of you that have gone to the Cheesecake Factory before, you have a 94-page menu, but you don't know what's good. You know what I'm saying? You're like, how many of y'all know life can be like this? Life can be like this. Like I just thought that if I got the girl, that would satisfy me. I just thought if I'd get the car, I knew it was this job. But now you keep going back to the job, and it's like, I hate my boss and every one of my employers that work with me. They're driving me crazy. How many of y'all know life is like this? Can I tell you, if you look in the wrong places, you'll never be satisfied. Can I say it again? If you look in all the wrong places, you'll never be satisfied. Like Bono was right when he wrote Joshua Tree, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Or looking for love in all the wrong places. I mean, I've done that before. Just like the song Vince Gill, give me one more last chance before you see me through. How many times do we do the same thing over and over and you say, just give me one more last chance. Just give me one more last chance. I promise, I know that this car. Right? This car. Or this house. Or this wife. Hello, I'm coming over here. But listen to this. I hope you lean into this morning. Jesus is saying this. If you just lean in and get revelation, you can stop all your searching, because if you just get a hold of righteousness, you don't have to look in the fridge anymore. You don't have to go to the pantry anymore. You don't have to go to the friends anymore. Because if you're looking for satisfaction, all those things, you'll never find it. And I'm telling you, it's easy for the world to creep up. Yesterday, we were at a tournament in Lubbock, Texas. For all day, we wrestled in the tot, 44 pounds, and Anson wrestled in the D375 and the D475. And as much as I love them winning, like if they don't win, they get whippings. I'm kidding. Y'all, I'm joking, Facebook world. But I'm telling you, that will never bring satisfaction to me. It won't. You're like, it'll bring satisfaction to you as a dad. No, it won't. It won't. He's saying the ingredient to this is you've got to pursue after righteousness. And I'm telling you, well, I'm going to talk about righteousness here in a minute, but I just want to paint a picture, because here's the deal. This pulpit has preached righteousness. I've preached righteousness. Pastor Ty has preached righteousness. Pastor Robert has preached righteousness. Pastor Michelle has preached righteousness. The problem is the people are not living righteous lives. And it only works if you work it. It actually works if you do it. So I want to go a different approach today. You know, I was thinking about people that have had all the stuff and thinking about all the things, and I had several examples in my mind and in my spirit thinking about people throughout scriptures, but I believe the greatest example of somebody in scripture who had all the stuff or looked for love in all the wrong places is this man named Solomon. In fact, if you've ever read about Solomon, those who've read the Bible in a year, when you're in 1 Kings and talking about all these different kings, I read about Solomon, and in the beginning, I can't wait to read more. Like the next day, it's like Solomon is so wise and so smart and so brilliant. All the things that he did and trading and business and all the great affairs that he navigated through. And then he lost his ever-living mind. He went crazy. He went nuts. He started making rational decisions and doing stupid stuff. And there's a book that begins to explain all this that he wrote. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you read Ecclesiastes, it's almost like the Maury Povich show. It's crazy stuff that's happening in his life. And I want to talk about those things. But Solomon, he had all the art. He had all the buildings. He had the house. He had 700 wives. You know what the Bible says? He said he had 700 because he was always in pursuit that just one might wake up in a good mood. No, the Bible doesn't say that. I'm kidding. Jim was over here looking it up. Where's it say that at? No. I'm kidding. I'm making sure you guys are paying attention. Y'all paying attention? All right, ladies, don't stone me this morning. But just looking at Solomon's life in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, it tells us this, and he said in verse 10, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. So if I saw it, I just got it." Can you imagine having that kind of wealth and that kind of power and influence? He said, "I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor." Like, I worked hard and I feel like I should have this. But then look at verse 11. "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had brought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun." Now look at chapter 5 and verse 10. He said, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver." And this is a guy that had silver, I mean, to the end of the world. He said, "Nor he that loveth abundance with increase, this also is vanity." Verse 11, "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saying, the beholding of them with their eyes?" He's saying, there's no, I mean, what good has it done for me? Look at chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "There is one alone." You know who he's talking about? He's talking about himself. Here's a guy with 700 wives. Here's a guy with all these people inside of his palace there, but yet this is what he says about himself. "I got art on the wall that's worth millions of dollars. I've got people that's working for me. Anything that I've wanted, I have it in my possession." But he says this about himself: "There is one alone." You know who he's talking about? Himself. How many of y'all know you can have all that stuff and not be satisfied? He said, "There is not a second." Yeah. "He hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This also is vanity, yet it is a sore travail." So now I want to take you to the end of his life in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I want to take you to the end of your life. No matter how much money you've made, no matter how many things you've brought into your possession, no matter how good your marriage has been, I want to tell you, you'll be in the same boat as Solomon here if you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says this in chapter 12 and verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." So the whole matter of the riches, the gold, the silver, the things, the art, the women. He said this: "Fear God and keep his commandments." How many of y'all know we need to fear God and keep his commandments? He's saying, "I look for all the satisfaction of the world, but I found nothing. But you know what I have found? I've got to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14, for God shall bring, this is for you and I, for God shall bring every work into judgment. So everything that you've done, he will bring into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So I want you to skip to the end of your life. There is always an end to searching for the things that satisfy. And can I tell you what Solomon has told us? We need to fear God and do what he says. And you know what he says to do? This is the best meal. Righteousness. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 21 and verse 21. It says, whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. How many of y'all know those are good things? You might have the nicest car in all the world, but not have a life. You might be enslaved to the payment of that nice car, right? He says life, righteousness. So, you know what I begin to think about? I've preached righteousness, and I will preach righteousness at the end. I just want to open eyes this morning. What keeps people from pursuing righteousness? Because can I tell you what the most frustrating thing as a pastor is? Is to know that this will help you and you still choose not to do it. You may nod, shout, glory, but you still don't do it. You lie. You lie like a rug. You might have all the right posts on Facebook, but still you lie. Amen? Just because you're on drugs and, you know, post scriptures on Facebook, that don't make you a Methodist. Just kidding. All right. That was a corny preacher joke right there. You know what keeps us from pursuing it? Is I've heard this one. Oh, I know. No, you don't. Like you come into my office and your finances are wrecked and I ask you if you're a tither. Well, pastor, I don't tithe, but I need to get my finances in order. Well, start tithing. We'll get back together. Like tithing works if you do it. That's the only way it works. Like we can talk about it, but that's the only way it works. You got to put seed in the ground if you want to harvest. I mean, he paints a picture from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, right? Like prayer works. Like, pastor, they're telling me about their life is in shambles. Okay, tell me about your prayer life. Well, I get on with you in the mornings on Facebook. Oh, so you listen to me pray. Well, that's great. How about you? I'm not talking about me. I know my prayer life's great. What about your prayer life? What about your reading of the Word? What about you getting in the presence of God? That's what I'm talking about, is you. Can I tell you the most frustrating part? And I'm trying not to be angry and have my veins pop out of my neck. Frustrating part is for me to preach a message. You say, pastor, that was a dang good word. But you don't live it. I don't care if it sounds good at all. I want you to live it. I want it to change your life. Pastor, I'm just not being fed. Yeah, because you're too fat from all the other sermons that you haven't done before. You haven't exercised them, and so you're just so full of the Word that you're a fat, lazy Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that was a good word. Oh, Lord. Pastor, I've heard that message before. Well, the reason we're preaching it again is because you still don't do it. I just heard it packaged in a different way. Well, I'm trying to package it every way that I can because people still don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want satisfaction? You've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hard on you this morning. I'm trying to be mean and hard on you this morning because you've got to live a righteous life. I'm trying to pastor you today. Come on. How many of y'all believe this morning? So here's reasons why. I'm going to get to righteousness in a minute, but here's reasons why people don't pursue righteousness. Number one, we're talking about food. Their appetite has been filled up on all the wrong things. We get filled up on all the wrong things. Now, I'm going to get into those lists in just a minute, but just to paint the picture to you, Texas Roadhouse bread. You know what I'm talking about? Like that bread comes out, and it looks like muscles on Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was probably a bad analogy, wasn't it? But bread, just like moist bread, and they put that crack cocaine on it. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, I know that steak is coming, but the bread's already here. It's like when you go to Olive Garden, you order shrimp fettuccine, but by the time shrimp fettuccine gets there, it's like, who cares about the shrimp? Because I've just ate bread and the greatest salad in all the land. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? True Texans. I'm talking to true Texans in the room. How many of y'all know you pick a restaurant? Thou saith the Lord. You pick a restaurant based on its chips and hot sauce. Right? Like if they don't bring out chips and hot sauce, you don't go there. You don't go back. As your pastor, I'm commanding you not to return there. Right? It's like you fill up. Yes. It's endless supply. There's this place in Oklahoma City called Ted's. Oh, Lord. Ted's, y'all. Every wrestling tournament in Oklahoma City, we're going. Because Ted's, you know what they do? They give you endless supply of sopapillas, tortillas, chips and queso, guacamole, and salsa. You might have ordered page 3, but by the time it gets there, who cares? But how many of y'all know we do the same thing in life? Come on, how many of y'all know the greatest meal that Jesus is saying, if you want satisfaction in your life, is righteousness, but we want to fill up on, come on, being complete Facebook. We want to fill up on being known by other people. We want to fill up on being accepted by all these other different people. And he's saying, you want acceptance? Pursue after righteousness. The main meal is righteousness. See, chips and hot sauce, they take our mind and our appetite away from the meal that's going to bring nutrition to us. I mean, I know chips and hot sauce, but listen, it's fried tortillas. Glory to God, let's have a big lunch afterwards. But he's trying to paint a picture to you and I, and I believe this, there's a reason why people don't pursue after righteousness is because they're full of all the wrong things. And can I tell you the biggest thing that will take your appetite away? Sin. Come on, what makes a righteous preacher is one who talks about sin. And you know what sin will do? It'll make you miss the mark. It'll cause death in your life. It'll cause death in your relationships. It will bring death in everything. And I'm telling you, if sin is in your life, it will take up the satisfaction of what righteousness is trying to do in your life. You will try to find the fulfillment of all these other things. Can I tell you something about sin? Sin, it tastes good, but it never satisfies. And it only tastes good for a season. Because how many of y'all have ever had a sin in your life that grows old and grows dim? It always does. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen out there? He don't change. He's still the healer. He's still the provider. He's still the strong tower. All righteousness in Jesus' name. He's still the same today. And so Hebrews chapter 11 is a great example of this. It says in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let's look at Isaiah 55. I love Isaiah 55. Has some great passage of text in there. For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. But in verse 1 and verse 2, look at this. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yeah, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for what that which is not bread? and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Listen to this. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Come on, isn't that a good word? It's time for a different meal. It's time for a different meal. Can I tell the people of God this morning, it's time for a different meal. You're not satisfied because you're not eating the right meal. We've got to eat righteousness. Maybe you're taking a conscious choice not to take what God is giving you. Take it. It's freely yours. Here's the second thing, another reason why people don't pursue righteousness. You may not know how good it is. Like, how many of y'all have ever had a meal brought to you and you went, you know what I'm talking about? Like, those of you know what, like sushi? Like, the sound of sushi, raw rice, raw fish guts, cucumbers. How much sake was this guy on when he designed this? But then you try it. Glory to God. California roll for me. Amen. Tiger roll for me. Sign me up. Listen, I'll take one. Or guacamole. Like, those of you are like, oh, I love guacamole. But take it from the perspective of, if you've ever changed a diaper in the nursery. And then you look at the guacamole, you're like. Because can I tell you this? Like I tell people all the time. Like, serving will change your life. But pastor, that just don't sound very appeasing. Tithing, it just don't sound very appeasing. Taking time out of my day to get in the presence of God, that just don't look too good. But can I tell you what Psalm 34:8 says? He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that his mercy endureth forever. God's called us to be salt and light, and we can't be salt and light. And we first taste and see that the Lord is good. And that his mercy endures forever. See, lots of times we don't pursue after righteousness because we're like, oh, it don't fit my schedule. Oh, that don't fit my friends. Oh, that don't fit my lifestyle. Oh, that don't fit my taste buds. Like chicken, pork, beef. That's it. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Are you getting it in your heart today? Like, you're gonna have to do something to pursue after righteousness. You're gonna have to make a change in your life to pursue after righteousness. He said, you'll be satisfied. I'm telling you, you will be satisfied when you begin to do this. Here's the third thing why people don't pursue after it. Third thing is this. Maybe you've rejected it because someone served it wrong. Like, I've been places before and had something. It's like, oh, it was okay. And then I had it from somebody else. Like for instance, a steak. Like, I've had been to some places where, you know, where they cooked a steak either too much or, you know, when Pastor Brandy and I first got together, all I ever knew was eating a steak well done. Beef jerky. And this is how she changed me to eating it medium rare. She said, you know, we'll get our meal faster. I said, glory to God. That's what changed my mind. I said, well, then I tried it. Let me tell you something. Those of you that eat well done, shame on you. Listen, now I'm at the point, and it's like, you know, put a little ivermectin in there, that cow's mooing in my backyard. Right? So, what was I even talking about? Oh. Listen, there's people that have fixed you things before that it's really good and you didn't know that it was good, but they fixed it for you and it was okay. And then so-and-so said, hey, let's go back there. And you're like, oh, I had a bad experience there. But you may have went to it in a different town, and the experience that you had there, it was so much better. You guys know what I'm talking about? or they fix something for you. Oh, that's what it was, a steak, you know. Some people fix them better than others. Some people fix a lot of things better than other people. But you let that experience crowd out the great experience that you were really supposed to have. And can I tell you, lots of times people, like I had the experience just a couple of weeks ago, I was down at the barn shoeing, and a vet called me and said, hey, can I send you one? Sent me some x-rays and just 1 foot. But anyways, this person came in, they're from Colorado, began to talk, never seen him from Adam. And they said, wow, this is a great place here. I said, yeah. They said, I guess you know the pastor here, so you can shoe horses here. I said, yeah, I know him well. He's a pretty good guy. Anyways, I told him there's a pastor here at the church, and I said, do you have a relationship with the Lord? I tell you what, I wouldn't trade what I do right now for anything, because it is such a ministry, and I'm telling you, you can do the same thing in your whatever you're doing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so I said, what's your relationship with the Lord? This is what they begin to tell me, and I've heard this more than once. Well, I don't have a relationship with the Lord because when I was such and such age, this particular person did this and said this, and they claimed to be a man of God. You know what I always tell them? Well, they're not God. I've had those same things happen to me, but let me tell you what I've experienced about my God. My God's a good God. My God's a faithful God. You know, you see it in the church all the time. There's people that leave. It's because they're connected to man, because they're not connected to God. And when that happens, I'm telling you, that's a scary place to be. Listen, I want to try to live the godliest life that I can for you guys as an example. And I try to do my best of that. But can I tell you, I'm not God. Do I believe I'm a messenger and an angel, as according to Revelation, to come and present the word to you and hear from God to speak the word to you? Yes, I do believe that, and I take that very highly. But can I tell you, I'm still not God. I'm still not the Savior. I just point you to God, and I point you to the Savior. But there's lots of people that don't pursue it because they've got a bad taste in their mouth because of somebody. Maybe it was an old neighbor. Maybe it was an old boss. Maybe it was an old person. Can I tell you? God is not like that neighbor. God is not like that old boss. God is not like that ex. Come on, I believe that's by the Spirit of God. You haven't even pursued after what God has in store for you because you're still holding on to the ex. The reason they're an ex is because they're an ex. Let them be an ex. Move on. Amen? Come on, who's hearing me this morning? The Bible tells us, and this is what I'll pray over you, and I want to encourage you to pray it over your family. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, 18, 19, and 20, he said that I will grant unto you by your rich treasure and glory, strengthen you, reinforce you with might to your inner man, the Holy Spirit himself, to your inmost being and personality. It says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your heart, and you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ, not the love of her or him or whatever it is, but to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Right? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And verse 20 is one that you need to have tattooed on your heart. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Come on, that neighbor can't do that. That wife can't do that. That husband can't do that. That kid can't do this. That boss cannot do this. Only God himself can do that for you. That's why we've got to pursue after him. So if it's been packaged to you wrong, left a bad taste in your mouth, I believe today healing's in this house. I believe there is an anointing of healing that is in this house for you and I. You know what I encourage people to do? Just give it 1 year. I brought this up this morning. I'm going to say it again. You know what I tell people? Give it 1 year. You know what I want you to give 1 year to? Give 1 year to being faithful. Give 1 year to being faithful in the word. Give 1 year to being faithful in his presence. Give 1 year to being faithful in prayer. Give 1 year to every time we're in prayer that you're in prayer. Give 1 year to every time there's Bible school that you're in Bible school. give 1 year to service, of serving in somewhere in of capacity inside of the house. And after 1 year you're not satisfied, I'll switch churches with you. Come on. I'm telling you, I say that with all confidence because here's the deal. It works if you work it. It works if you work it. You've got to be consistently working it. Satisfaction will not come from the things that you think it comes from. So how can we pursue it? John, go ahead and come and play. First of all, I want to tell you that righteousness is this. Righteousness is right standing with God. It's right standing with God. And this is not of what you've done, but what he has done. Right? I want to point this out about righteousness. Righteousness, lots of times people think, oh, that person's so righteous. Like we put a ranking on it. Like he's a first class sergeant major in righteousness. He's a general in righteousness. That person's so much more righteous than that person. No, you don't get righteousness like that. You're either all righteous or you're not righteous. Like you're either in the army or not in the army. And that's what righteousness is. You're either right standing or you're not. And it's not of what you've done, but it's everything that he has done. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. So it's right standing with God. It's a Roman road experience. It tells us this in Romans 1:17. This good news, how many of y'all know this is good news? Tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Like we weren't right before, but he does. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now we go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. He says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. How many of y'all thankful for the grace of God, for the mercy of God? One last scripture I want to read to you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 through 11. It says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Isn't that good? We're made friends of God. So when you pray, you need to know this. He's your friend. You know what I try to do? I painted a picture when we were talking about fear, combating fear. And talked about the power of prayer. I gave you an example of my boys praying at night. My little boys. My five-year-old boy. And you know what I continually try to do with them? When I pray with my boys, I pray like God's my friend. Because I want to communicate to them. Now, I'm all about praying scripture. I'm praying. I'm just trying to give them perspective that, son, this is not hard. Anybody can do it. Can I tell you, if a five-year-old can do it, you 45-year-old can do it. And you need to start praying like he's your friend. Like you can talk to him. That's what it is. Communicate with the Lord. It's not hard. You communicate with Facebook more than you communicate with the Lord. Listen, hunger and thirst after righteousness. So how can we pursue? First, you need to know this, that we are made right with God by coming into relationship with God. Get revelation of that. We are made right with God when we come into relationship with God. Now, if you're not in relationship with God, you're not right with God. You hear me? If you're not in relationship with God, you're not right with God. Here's the second thing. Righteousness is this, is right living on earth. I've read enough scripture to know this. It's right living on earth. How many of y'all know you have the choice? We are righteous, but we still got to have the right living here on earth. Your life will always put you what you want, your choices, your desires, they will always put you in the pig pen. Read the story of the prodigal son. He wanted to do it his way. Listen, look back on what Solomon said. He said, fear God and do his commandments. You can't live the way you want to live anymore. Remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We live of a different kingdom. We talk in a different kingdom. We say things in a different light, different from everyone else. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The world would tell you that this is the right way, but how many of y'all know the right way is hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you'll be satisfied. So number two is this. We have right living on earth by pursuing the lifestyle that God intends. Oh, I wish I could just come to your house today and say, you know what? Your lifestyle needs to change. It needs to change. It needs to change. Proverbs 12:28 says this, in the way of righteous there is life. Along that path is immorality. But look at that. In the way of righteousness, there is life. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to pursue righteousness. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Come on, stand to your feet this morning if you're ready to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Come on, stand to your feet this morning if you're ready to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I believe there's an anointing here today to set people free. In fact, I want to ask this question. I want to ask this question. You say, you know what, Pastor, as we were talking, I told you in the beginning, this has the potential to change your life. I want to ask you, is there people not pursuing after righteousness? Number one, because your appetite has been filled up on all the right, wrong things. Come on, who's going to be bold this morning and say, you know what, my appetite's filled up on the wrong things. Praise God. Is there anybody else? Come on, just be honest with yourself. Number two, how many of y'all, you just don't know how good it is because you hadn't tried it? I believe this one's a big one. Number three, you haven't pursued after it because somebody has ruined it for you. Who is it? Who is it? I believe there's freedom in the room today. I believe there is freedom in the room today. There's freedom in the room today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you raise your hand for any of them? Keep your hand raised. Keep your hand raised. I want to pray for you. I believe that's an act of obedience of having your hand raised. How many of y'all want to be set free? How many of y'all want to pursue after righteousness? Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you don't have your hand raised, I just want you to put your hand towards these who do right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for these. Oh, I thank you for the authority that's under the sound of my voice. And I pray for each and every dad, God, that has his hand raised. Every mom that has his hand raised. Every business owner that has his hand raised. Every employer that has his hand raised. Every husband, every wife. God, I pray for them. And I pray for your anointing that breaks the yokes and bondages of sin and death. I pray, Lord, for life right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you comfort them. Lord, I pray, Lord, whatever that past thing, that past hurt is, I pray that it would dissipate and die inside of their mind. I pray, Lord, that they would not seek after man's approval, but God, that they would taste and see that the Lord is good. Maybe they taste and saw that a dad was bad. Maybe they taste and saw that a mom was bad. Maybe they taste and saw that a particular person in their life had clouded things in their judgment. But Lord, today I pray that they would taste and see that the Lord is good and that his mercy endures forever. Oh, I break this thing off of them in Jesus' name. I pray that it would dissipate, die, dry up, not come back ever again. And Lord, today I pray that they would be satisfied as they hunger and thirst at the righteousness. God, forgive us of the things in our life that's the bread, the things in our life that's the chips and salsa, the things in our life that's the salad, that's taking our eyes off the main course meal of righteousness. And God, today I pray that as people in this room, Lord, find freedom, Lord, I pray for growth inside of their life. Make them new in Jesus' name. Last thing I want to share with you is this. I was trying to think of a way, just wrap all this up, maybe a story in my own life. I decided to go to a story in John chapter 4. And John chapter 4 is one of my favorite texts because I really see the heart of Jesus. And there's this woman that's at a well. And the Bible says that she's a Samaritan woman. And Jesus, the disciples are off on their own, and Jesus is at this well with this woman. And in fact, culture tells us that they should not even be talking to one another. But Jesus goes up to her and says, hey, can I have a drink? Where he tells her, he says, hey, give me a drink. And she says, you know, I don't have anything to get anything out of this well. And he begins to describe to her, and he said, you know what? I'd love to tell you about a well that you'd never have to pull from it. But if you just drink from this well, you'll never have to thirst again. It's everlasting life. And she says, wow, what? I'm confused. Where does this place come from? And then he asked her, he said, do you have any husbands? He's like, he's trying to paint a picture. Do you have any husbands? And she goes, she said, I have no husband. She goes, or Jesus says, yeah, that's right. You've had five. You're with one now. What's the beauty of the picture is now she's with Jesus, that makes seven. And seven is the number of completion. That she finally found the one that she was looking for. She had been looking for love in all the wrong places. She'd been pulling from a water in all the wrong places. And he's trying to paint a picture. You've pulled from that well and this well and this well and this well and this well. They won't bring life. And Jesus said, there's an hour coming when we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And she says, that day is coming, but only when the Messiah comes. And Jesus looks at her in the eye in verse 26. I love this. He says, I am he, said Jesus. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. Can I tell you something about righteousness and about the Lord? You don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to look any further. Everything you need is in him. Can I say that with confidence? You don't have to look anymore. It's in him. You're still unhappy because of the boss. Seek him. I'm still unhappy because of my job. I'm telling you, he will satisfy on top of that. I'm still unhappy because of the marriage. I'm telling you, hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm still unhappy of where we are in America. Me too. But it's not gonna, I'm telling you, if I just watched the news, I'd be as grouchy as you guys. And I'm not saying you shouldn't stop doing that, because we need to be a voice in our community. You know me. You know my heart. But can I tell you, it can't be on top of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It can't be on top of hunger and thirst after righteousness. For you will be satisfied. Can I be satisfied even in the state of the world? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Satisfaction doesn't come from those things. Satisfaction comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.